So when that happens, everything below that break becomes necrotic.
Yeah.
Dry gangrene sets in. So all my toes turned black and just disgusting. So I spent 35 days in the hospital and had 9 surgeries. Those 9 surgeries were first the nail get put in, but then the realization that, oh, this kid's got compartment syndrome. We got to act now. Mm. So they do full fasciotomies, which they zip you on both sides from your knee down to your ankle and releases the pressure.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up?
Guys, today we have a special treat for you, a fellow gym goer. We've seen each other at the gym for, 2-3 years now? 4 years? I don't know. Something like that.
Since I started that fitness culture January 2022.
And he's the loud one in the gym, and I'm the quiet guy.
Very loud.
You know, and that's how Kel knows him, too. So we have Mark Relay. Is that right? Did I say Relay?
Relay.
Yeah. It's Italian?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to just call you Mr. No Quit.
That's how I like to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive right into your journey, because obviously in life, everybody's going to go through some form of struggle, some sort of pain, and how they obviously handle that is going to determine where their life ends up, right? And so right now you just got done finishing a marathon, like a week or two ago?
October 7th.
And you were told that that's something that you can't do.
That's correct.
Right? By doctors, right?
the professionals.
The all-knowing, right?
They know everything.
Yeah. Exactly. And so let's talk a little bit about your journey. First off, like, how long ago did your accident happen? What happened? Because I don't even know this information, right? We've been seeing each other at the gym talking shit for ever, and I don't even know the full story.
So I usually keep it pretty tight-lipped because there's a lot that goes with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, back in...
Well, get loose lips with it today, dude.
That's why I'm here. I want to be able to tell my story and tell it to people that I can understand.
Yeah.
July 5th, 2013, drinking 4th of July at a party at my friend's house. Mm. Got myself on a roof, and next thing you know, I'm getting myself off that roof. And upon getting off, I broke my tib fib. Clean break, not a compound, not a spiral, nothing crazy.
Getting off the roof, what do you mean? Like just straight jumping, being drunk as shit, or?
No, so actually, it's hard to talk about this part because I got off the roof, I broke my leg. But why was I on that roof? I actually threw my keys on the roof because I was asked to go for a little joyride in my truck.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of the guy that did that in high school.
Yeah.
And so I threw my keys on the roof. The funny thing is I was staying at that house that night, so like I didn't have to go get my keys.
Yeah.
But I decided that, hey, I'm going to go do that. There's probably about 100 people at the party. I know the house well.
Yeah.
I went around the house, found a ladder, climbed up on the roof where nobody could access that ladder. Went up this big high pitch of the garage, got down, grabbed my keys. You know, I was raised in the mountains, you know, born jumping off roofs, trees, you know, never an issue.
Yeah.
So I sat on the side of the roof, 10-foot roof, feet over the side, and just
pushed myself off.
And when I landed with my left foot a little bit forward. So at that time, I was 210, I was playing some JUCO basketball, so I was in shape. And anyways, landed just a little bit forward, and it just snapped.
Damn.
Then I sat on my feet, and then I just, like, sat on my butt. And I knew it because I was wearing jeans and just your legs just hanging there. So that happened. This is in a small town. So I went to the hospital, you know, parents came, doctors told me, hey, you're good, man. You just broke your leg. We're going to put a nail, which is like a rod, in your leg. You'll be back on the court in 12 weeks, playing full speed in 16 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, things happen in the hospital. I developed something called compartment syndrome, which basically cuts off blood flow to my leg. So where I broke my leg, all my blood flow just stopped.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't caught for 13 hours. So when that happens, everything below that break becomes necrotic. Yeah. Dry gangrene sets in. So all my toes turned black and just disgusting. So I spent 35 days in the hospital and had 9 surgeries. Those 9 surgeries were first the nail get put in, but then the realization that, oh, this kid's got compartment syndrome. We got to act now. Mm. So you do full fasciotomies, which they zip you on both sides from your knee down to your ankle and releases the pressure. So
what do you mean zip you? What does that mean?
Slice you open.
They flay you open.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I have some scars still showing.
Okay.
That's what that is.
And the purpose of that was to do what? To release pressure?
Release pressure. So with compartment syndrome, all the compartments in your legs like swells out with fluid. Mm. So my leg, I'm not kidding you, it was the size of a volleyball from my knee all the way down my ankle. It was
because it's just unreal. Used to going down the rest of your leg and it's just kind of sitting there on the top half of your leg, just kind of expanding and the pressure's building up.
Correct. So, you know, there's a lot of indicators when compartment syndrome sets in. And unfortunately, I just caught the wrong doc, I guess you could say. There are certain things I can talk about and there's certain things I can't.
Yeah.
It was medical malpractice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we can relate on a lot of stuff. You know,
yeah.
Doctors aren't heroes. Well, they are in a lot of ways, but they're not. They don't know everything, and they make mistakes.
They're not gods,
yeah,
right?
My dad's a construction guy.
Yeah.
You know, he owns his own business, electrical, and I've seen him make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very, very good at what he does.
Yeah. You know,
everybody makes
mistakes. It's a human, right? It's a human.
Yeah. And it took me a long time to come to that realization, especially since this happened 10 and a half years ago, and I had 24 surgeries.
Yeah.
But
so you went through some dark times, obviously, right? Like after that happened, you 35 days later, you're 9 surgeries in or whatever, right? Is 35 and 9, right?
So I went in July 5th and I got out August 10th.
Okay. So by August 10th, what was the situation? Did they say, hey, we have to amputate?
So
No.
So on day 4, they wanted to amputate. Once the compartment syndrome set in, and they did, you know, filleted me on both sides. They didn't think that it was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they did because they told us. They contacted, well, first of all, they came into our room and told me, hey, we need to amputate your leg. My dad, my mom, no. It's not going to happen. Me, there's no way. You're not taking my leg. There is no way.
Just being an athlete and all that. You're just like, well, nah, you know.
How many college basketball players do you see on TV with an amputation?
Right.
Yeah.
At play.
None.
Yeah.
So I knew that, no.
It's not even an option.
You're not taking it.
Do something else.
Yeah, so they called the UCSF doctor. UC Berkeley. UC Davis doctor and asked him, hey, what would you do? He's the head ortho. Cut it off. Can't save it. Cut it off. They needed a second opinion, so they called the head orthopedic surgeon at Stanford Medical. He said, well, do this. Do a vein bypass. So they take a vein out of your thigh, and they put it from your knee down to your ankle. It becomes a temporary artery to try and get blood to get restored back to your foot. The doctor told my doctor at the time, hey, it's not going to work, most likely, but just do it so that you can tell the kid and his parents that you guys tried. Mm. So that's why for that surgery, that was their intention of going into it. Like, let's do this surgery so we can tell them that we tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked. And that's how I restored blood flow. And ever since then, it was like, I have my leg and I'm going to keep fighting for it. So anyways, 35 days in the hospital, got out, but that's where it all started.
Yeah.
My leg still wasn't closed on both sides.
So it did work. So they were able to restore blood.
They were.
And then they said, okay, you can go home now.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went home. I still had to do, you know, in-home health nurses come, they change your wounds. Because I was filleted on both sides, I had wound vacs. If you don't know what wound vac is, it's basically like a mesh kind of material that goes on your wound and then it gets wrapped in tape. Mm-hmm. And there's a vacuum system that just pulls out fluid and drops it into a container. So they would come, change containers, take off your wound vac, which is not a good fun process.
Yeah.
I'm loaded when that's happening. And that went on for probably another month or so. But remember when I said that compartment syndrome shuts off blood flow?
Yeah.
My foot was still necrotic. So all my toes never restored from the blood. So I was able to keep my leg, but all my toes were dying off pretty much day by day. It started off with like my toenails would start falling off, tearing off.
Mm-hmm.
My toes would hammer down, mm-hmm. Shift in different ways. Very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird to see, especially like being.
This is on your body.
Looking down at your leg.
Yeah.
Going,
yeah.
This is not.
And you're how old at this time?
19.
19. Okay.
So that was going on. That was my ninth surgery when I got out. And then it started with the voluntary surgeries. Me, I didn't know that I was going to run a marathon. I didn't know I would be here right now. But mm-hmm. I knew that I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
That's why I know Quit 24/7 is my brand.
Yeah.
My 10th surgery, basically all my toes were necrotic.
Yeah.
So what do? Do you cut them all off? Not me. I'm going to go one by one.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and save the most I can.
Yeah.
So I started off with my big toe, cut it off, fought that for another month. What happened was once you cut a toe off or half a toe, things just change.
Yeah.
Well, I developed tunneling going through my toe. So basically I got an infection called osteomyelitis. It's a bone infection and it makes these tunnels. So I had to personally pack it with this gauze material, so it doesn't heal from the outside in. You want it to heal from the inside out.
Yeah.
So you don't have like a hollow toe. So I had PICC lines going through. I had self-administer three times a day, every 8 hours, clockwork, 12 p.m., 8 a.m., you name it. Just bum,
and,
bum.
And what are you putting in your system?
Oh.
When you're doing that?
Clindamycin, ANSEF, hardcore antibiotics.
Okay, gotcha.
So you need the saline,
heparin,
you flush out your lines, you administer your antibiotic, then you saline, flush it out. Did that for a month to try and save that half toe.
Yeah.
Well, then my bone just popped out. Another osteomyelitis case. You got to amputate right away.
There's, yeah.
Because that can spread. So this all runs all kind of together. But
yeah.
I basically spent the next 2.5 years cutting off toe by toe just because I'm not going to take them all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to save as much as you can.
I'm a very stubborn guy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's crazy. Cause most people have never lost a limb of any sort or probably just like, they can't even imagine losing a pinky, dude. And you're sitting here going one at a time, dude. Just
that's why people see
multiple amputations.
People see me now and they're crazy. Like, you're an amputee. Like that's all you are.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I've had like 5 amputations. They're just little parts of my body working all the way. I worked all the way up my leg to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did that for, like I said, 2.5 years, got myself to surgery 15. My 15th surgery was when I just said, okay, this isn't working on my toes. We're just nasty. I had my 4th case of osteomyelitis, which made my entire foot just not
good. Swell up or what?
Or just redness, swell up, extreme pain, couldn't walk on it. I've in the past 10 and a half years, I've spent over 4 years just on crutches.
Yeah.
Just because your foot is in a very delicate state.
Yeah.
And I would develop ulcers on the bottom of my feet because I couldn't feel my foot. So it was all bad.
Yeah.
But my 15th surgery, I couldn't deal it anymore. So I just had a transmetatarsal amputation, which they just cut all your toes off.
Right, yeah.
So now you just have a club foot.
Yeah.
That was my 15th surgery. That happened first year of college. I was a transfer. So it was my junior year at Sonoma State, if you guys are familiar with that, Northern California.
We're not college guys, too.
I mean, I'm.
We're fucking idiots when it comes to like school, educational.
School, you know? School was hard for me. During that time, I was on Oxy, I was on Ativan. And I was on something else. I just can't remember. I was on a lot of
all things. The pain meds, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anything that you can get your hands on
Oxy,
at that point.
Adderall, Ativan. So I was.
Let me ask you this: were you doing that because of the pain, and then eventually just abusing it after a period of time because of the mental anguish of like, you know, situation after like it's just getting worse, 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 no matter what you're doing. So were you just numbing, or was it just?
Well, I think every
the pain thing.
Every addict, especially when it starts out with like a medical injury, starts out as you're taking it for pain.
Yeah,
but every addict can tell you what happens when you have a day that you don't have pain.
Yeah,
but you utilize that thing for. I was on Oxy for 2.5 years.
Yeah,
so when you take a day and you don't use it, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
A week, not going to be good. So you're going to take it still on the days. You ain't going to survive a week,
fool.
Yeah. You're not actually in pain. And that just leads to, that compounds over time.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to just a massive
blow. What were you taking, like 80s or?
No. Yeah. I was, all my Oxy was legit prescribed by medical professionals. Yeah. Not the stuff. There's a thing on Netflix right now.
Do you think that they were over prescribing? Yeah. Not at that time?
So I.
Okay.
I'm smart when it comes to the pills.
Yeah.
You know, I got 155 overall days in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I was there, I know what I'm asking for. I already know that Oxy is going to be given to me every 2 hours for pain, but also I can get dilaudid whenever I want.
I don't know what that is.
It's even stronger.
Consider morphine, right?
Oh, really?
Consider morphine.
That's what they had my dad on before he passed, you know? Talk about, dude, I mean, he followed protocol, but dude, I mean, pain pills just change you, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, even if you're not abusing it, what the doctors prescribe, it's like, it just totally changes who you are.
Well, like, let's go back to the first 35 days. When I was in the hospital, I was getting Oxy every 2 or 4 hours. Can't remember those windows. But also, I had a PICC line in my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a...
The presser button thing?
The button.
Yeah.
Every 8 minutes.
Just sending it.
I could press a button and it would deliver 0.5 milligrams or whatever.
Yeah.
Thing is of dilaudid. And dilaudid, if you want to look at it from a ratio standpoint, 8 to 1 times stronger than morphine.
Wow.
So you're just getting blasted.
Yeah.
I was on it for 35 days.
Yeah.
And then once I got out of the hospital, I was prescribed Oxy for the next 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I've gotten off Oxy 17 times.
Dude, you know what?
That's why I wanted to do this podcast.
Well, it sounds like you got on Oxy 16 times. If you got off 17, you know.
Every surgery, I was on Oxy.
Yeah, every single one.
Dude, I
mean, what were you going to say, Joe?
Oh, I was watching my dad through, you know, his last year of life. When he progressed from Oxys to dilaudid.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, the pain. So his girlfriend was the one that was kind of like helping him stay on top of everything. She wasn't the best at that. You know, they're both kind of a little spacey.
So
and as far as when to take it, dude, if he missed like an hour went by and he didn't take his dilaudid, I literally thought he was going to die. Like all the time I was around him, he forgot to take a dilaudid. And I think the pain was so much worse from missing the scheduled pain pill time
than
the actual cancer was causing the pain. Right. And it was like, and it's kind of like that with a lot of things, man. It's like, like my wife was like, hey, like maybe you should take a Xanax or something if like I'm having some like anxiety or whatever. I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna take that shit because I already know when you take a pill for a solution, it's like the anxiety's worse when it comes back, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's, you know, true. It's just
well, your body starts to withdraw.
Yeah,
you know, you're on Oxy for a long time or dilaudid for a long time, and even if you miss that window, with your father being an hour late, your body's going, what the fuck, man.
Dude, we were out fishing for Father's Day, and it was like I had to carry him back to his car with my sons, and it was like his whole body was giving out from missing his payment. And then his girlfriend's like, I forgot to give him his dilaudid. I didn't know what dilaudid was until Father's Day last year.
I've never heard of that.
It's crazy, dude.
For a hot minute,
but anyway, I've seen like this dependency turn into more excruciating pain than the actual cancer or the surgeries or the, you know what I mean? Like, it like shuts your body down physically, mentally, everything, dude. It's crazy.
Well, you use it for pain originally, and then you use it just to function.
Yeah.
is what ends up happening, right? Yeah. So
during college, that's what I was on. I had my Oxy to help my pain.
Yeah.
I had my Adderall because I was prescribed Adderall ever since I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't one of those guys, no offense against the guys that just get it from doctor, but I had to go and actually like sit down with therapists.
Yeah.
And they run tests and
EMDR
and just all these different things to, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it helped me substantially. Yeah. So in college I was on Oxy for pain, Adderall to keep me straight, and Ativan for anxiety. yeah. which if you don't know what Ativan is, mm-mm. it's the big brother
of Xanax.
Yeah.
I didn't know Xanax had a big brother.
I didn't know that. Ativan, I guess
it's no got joke. A little brother too, yeah, no? Lorazepam.
Oh, there you go. Oh, big brothers, little brothers, cousins, you know.
They're all related.
They're all related.
It sounds like you had a daily family reunion with a lot of these, you know, family members. With, you know, by the time you were combining
this.
Did
you kick all of it?
Yeah.
So, this was 2015. I was on Oxy for 2.5 years. I had my 15 surgeries. That first semester of college was a blur.
Yeah,
you know, I was able to get
I can imagine, yeah.
But I had to drop classes. I was having surgeries during that first semester. That's when I had my transmet. Mm-hmm. That was in October. Yeah, we're coming up on 8 years ago. Jesus. But that's when I had that done. So I had to cancel classes. So the next semester, I was like, you want to go into this straight. Mm-hmm. So Christmas Day 2015, I cut Oxy.
Yeah.
Cut it. I've already done with my withdrawals before because there were times in that 2.5 years where I get off it and, you know, you have another surgery, you jump back on it kind of thing. So 3 or 4 days, that's my withdrawal time period.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Yeah, you handle it.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
I cold turkey it and I'll do me.
Yeah.
So I cut that and I cut Ativan.
Yeah.
Did my 3 or 4 day withdrawal.
You did your time in hell.
Did my time. Did my sweats. Did it all. So then I went back to school. And what happened was something I've never experienced and I never want to experience ever again. That Ativan gave me a delayed withdrawal. So I didn't withdraw. Like when I was going through the withdrawal from Oxy, I figured this is with
this
Adderall
is yeah.
combined with it.
Yeah.
Or sorry, with Ativan combined. It wasn't. So the day before school started, I start having the withdrawal symptoms. But with Ativan compared to a Oxy withdrawal, you're also going to have hallucinations and suicidal thoughts. So that was the first time in my life where I lined up all my knives I had on my dresser in my dorms, and I was ready to, I was just searching for an opportunity. Reached out to a friend like, hey, man, I need help. Went to the campus rec center at like 10 o'clock at night. They were closed. So what do? Well, the only place that's open is the campus police department.
Yeah.
I was ready. So we went. And I voluntarily checked myself into a psych hospital. And to this day, that's changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, seeing what drugs do to people.
Yeah.
My roommate, his name was Matt. Never forget his name because it's my brother's name.
Yeah.
Upon getting there, the first thing they do is they take your shoestrings and your jacket string. Why?
Yeah.
Hang yourself.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew where I was.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit. This is where I am. My roommate Matt, he was a heroin addict. And he was living at that time in San Francisco at one of the San Francisco parks.
Yeah.
He's homeless. And he was so excited because once he got out of the psych ward, he was moving to Sacramento because there was a new park being built that had showers.
Oh.
And he was just juiced about it. And I remember he was talking to me about his addictions and like, this dude's like 45 years old and he looks like he's 70.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he opened my eyes to a lot of it.
Yeah.
He's like, this is where it leads.
Yeah.
You know, starts out where you are.
Yeah.
Good looking guy. Things are going to change dramatically. You'll lose everything. Lose all your money, all your family, all your friends.
All your teeth.
It was bad.
Yeah. It's a sad thing.
We shared a room.
Yeah.
So like I was able to talk to this guy while I was there. And I mean, I've still drank. I've still taken pills. I've still done stuff, but it's always in my head. Like you can't, once the pain's gone, you have to drop it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you can't keep that going.
Mm-mm.
You know, it gets you nowhere.
So from that point, you like, again, with your leg, you still had your leg at that point.
Yeah. So this was really cool. I was able to, I was able to have 2 years where I was able to finish college, finish college in 4.5 years, which was really cool to me.
Yeah.
I was a semester behind. But yeah, had no surgeries. I had a lot of pain, was not on oxy, but the doctors I had at that time, in order to keep my leg from, you know, operating, I joined a fraternity. So, yeah. You know, you got like frat games and you got intramurals and all this stuff. So, you know, being an athlete like I am, I wanted to still do that without pain. Yeah. So I would just have my leg shot up with steroids, cortisone, the whole nine.
Yeah.
Numerous shots.
Yeah.
Whole leg.
Yeah.
And that was able, that allowed me to get through. Also, I switched from oxy to alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol was a big friend of mine.
Yeah.
Marijuana was a big friend of mine. So I still used quite every day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was able to get through college.
Use what?
Alcohol.
Like today is what you're saying? Or back in the day?
Oh, back in the day. Yeah,
that was confusing. You're like, I still use every day. He used every day.
I don't use every day now, no.
Intervention. Time for an intervention.
At 30 years, I just turned 30 a couple weeks ago, and it's cool to be able to be like, dude, you're 30 years old, and you got 10 years of experience with some hard opiates.
Yeah. So
alcohol, marijuana, benzos, like,
yeah,
you know what they do to you.
Yeah.
They did help you in a lot of ways to control your pain and other stuff, but
that ain't your jam.
No.
Yeah.
And that's why I talk to people about
it
now.
What happened with, like, after college, where they were like, hey, we need to amputate up to your middle of your calf. So that's about where you're at, right?
Yeah. So, like, the last month before I graduated, a doctor took an x-ray of my leg and saw that I had a little growth going on, and she wasn't sure what it was. Hmm. So she's like, this may be cancerous. And, like, me, I hear that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's the last thing I want.
Yeah.
So they biopsy it. Had a surgery, did a little biopsy of it, and then they sent it to Stanford. And that's where I had my first interview with the Stanford head orthopedic surgeon. Mm. The same guy, in fact, that was called on day four to see whether or not they should do that bypass.
Yeah.
So it was cool to be with that guy. So I started seeing him. I was 2017, graduated, 2017 December. Started seeing him right after that. I asked him in January. I said, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I want you to amputate. Well, he's a limb salvage doctor. And if you know anything about those big wig doctors, they don't just like to cut off things. Yeah. They want to try and save it.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, hey, I'll amputate, but first let's try something.
Yeah.
It's called a metal external fixator. It's a cage. It's kind of like braces, right?
Yeah.
So they put this cage on my foot. And at that time, I just had a nub. But I had no plantar and dorsiflexion, so no movement. And my foot was curled up. So this cage they put on, the first process is to straighten out my foot. And the way it gets straightened out is because you have some
screws or whatever, just like braces.
And you tighten it.
And it slowly goes out.
I tighten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So every day,
a little more.
And these clicks, and you feel it.
Yeah.
You know, this cage is around, and I got three rods going into my tibia, and then I got 10 wires going through my foot. Yeah. And it's just like braces. That's how I describe it. So I did that for 5 months. I had two sets of cages. First was to get me straight. The next was to get me movement. Well, once that thing came off, my doctor's like, you're good to go, man. So me, obviously, once I get cleared, I'm going. Like, back to hunting, back to outdoors, back to just living my life.
Yeah.
I had severe pain going on. I couldn't figure out what it was. Doctor's like, this is normal. This is what people feel after they get this cage taken off. I'm like, no, something else is going on. I'm asking for oxy. Like, I'm running through it. So he sends me to one of his peers, which is a foot and ankle specialist, still at Stanford. Takes an x-ray of me and goes, well, no shit, you're in pain. You're going bone to bone in your subtalar joint. Your subtalar joint sits about an inch below your ankle joint, which my doctor that did the fixator, that's all he was looking at was the ankle joint. If only he would have looked one inch lower, you would have seen that I was going bone to bone, and that's what's caused my pain. Yeah. So this doctor's like, let's fuse it. Let's do it. So they do two stainless steel, like 6-inch screws. they put them through your heel, and it locks out your subtalar joint. Well, with it only being an inch below your ankle joint, it's going to fuse pretty much your ankle joint. Yeah. So now I just have a nub that does not work. Yeah. I ran that for about a year trying to push. What happened was I was building up a lot of scar tissue throughout that area. Mm. So when I was doing my outdoor stuff or trying to train, be active, I'd like, I guess you can say pop scar tissue. It's kind of like what it sounds like. You just tear scar tissue by being active, and it hurts. Yeah. Not enjoyable. So I decided that I just can't do this anymore. That same doctor was like, all right, we did it. Let's amputate now. So we had he brought in a UCSF doctor, plastic surgeon, so they can tag team it. And we had it amputated in May of 2020, right after COVID hit. And it was great. The first few months was awesome. Like I was like gung-ho. And well, I needed a surgery in my knee. So my amputation was my 22nd surgery. So throughout that 7.5 years, cutting stuff off and having surgeries, my knee took just a brunt of force.
Yeah.
So they did an MRI on me. I was told it was just going to be some simple, non-invasive surgery, pretty much go in there with two little, a camera and a cutter, clean some stuff out, and it'll be fine. Wrong. I was missing a chunk of cartilage underneath my kneecap, and that's why I was getting this clicking and, So they had to do the same surgery as a total knee replacement. They zip you over your kneecap, open you up, open your patella, drop in a cadaver, and, hope it takes. Well, this was in the middle of COVID. Stanford's in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
I lived in Sonora at that time. It's 3.5 hours away. So they couldn't get me in. It was like FaceTime, telehealth appointments. I had an issue where I was getting massive swelling going on and I needed pain meds because it freaking hurt.
Yeah.
Doctor's like, oh no, man, this is normal. Like I've heard 1,000 times. No, it's not, man. Okay, fine. Let's get you in. I come in and they're like, what the hell? Like you should have came in months ago.
Yeah.
It's like, I tried.
Yeah.
they stick in these syringes, pull out all this fluid, yada, yada, yada. The bad part about that was the surgery prior to that was my amputation. So every amputee goes through about the first 18 months, their nub is going to be changing size. It's going to fluctuate. So now you add a surgery on your knee that it worked, but there's a lot of swelling inflammation going on, which is just going to cause your lower, extremity to also fluctuate. Mm-hmm. So I was having a field day with my prosthetic, trying to get things to,
to fit.
Feel good. Oh, yeah.
Because of the different sizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like a traditional amputee, right, you have your socket. Basically sits right here. This is a pylon. This is my new socket for osseointegration. Substantially different. But you have your socket. And then you have your liner you wear, which is a silicone, liner you have and a little pin that sticks out of it that, sits in here and keeps it locked in. Well, you wear these socks over that liner. So for example, I would wake up in the morning and I put two socks on. By the end of the day, I had 14 socks on. And that was every day.
Mm.
So it would fluctuate from two socks to 14.
Because of the size things too.
So if I wanted to go to the gym, when I first met you,
I saw you over there, putting the socks on and off and,
because it would sweat.
Yeah.
Training, hot. That gym, man, stays hot. It's just a warm place. And
I mean, they got those big ass fans, but they go at like 0.00001 mile an hour.
I get it, man. You gotta save money where you can. Yeah. But my leg would get quite hot.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's amputees I know that they don't mind that sweat, but because of all my residual scarring, all that sweat would macerate that area, those areas.
Yeah.
And then I would eventually, those would turn into wounds, mm-hmm. pressure sores, whatever. And then I just can't wear my leg anymore.
Yeah.
So every time I felt that sweat, Everything's coming off. I'm wiping it out.
Yeah.
Throwing socks on.
Yeah, that's what I'd see you doing. Yeah.
And that's just how life went. I knew about osseointegration at that time, but my doctor that did my amputation was like, you don't want to be a guinea pig of this.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people that have it. There's only a few doctors in the country.
So the people know what that big ass word is. Osseointegration.
Osseointegration is.
Like, can't use big words around these parts without like.
Is it okay if I do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Of course.
This is osseointegration.
So they go directly into your bone.
Yes.
So this is a pure titanium rod.
Yeah.
It has threads throughout it. They actually hammer this thing into my tibia. This goes in 4.72 inches into my tibia bone.
Damn.
And screw it in or what?
No, they actually hammer it. I got videos I can show you guys later if you guys like. They actually hammer the rod into my leg. And
so is it like super sharp at the end so that it goes up? Like it can't be a blunt.
Penetrates
like
the bone.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's called a it was a percutaneous approach to this. So they first think of like a
what?
It's called a percutaneous. That's what
you're using
call
a lot of big words today.
Wait a minute. When my doctor tells me these things, I'm like,
I don't go to the gym.
Yeah, you learn a lot going to man. Shit.
You know,
they have to drill a pilot hole first.
Oh,
so they
okay
drill a pilot hole through your tibia.
Okay,
and then they ream it out.
Yeah, yeah,
some kind of medical reaming tool, and then you have this rod. That's
it goes
that
right
one
in
right there.
Yeah,
it doesn't fit perfectly, right? They do the pilot hole a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so it stretches it a little bit and gets tight in there.
Pound that sucker in.
Okay.
Does the bone actually grow around titanium? Okay.
So it integrates. That's where osseointegration mm-hmm comes from. So it actually integrates with the bone. And what's cool is one of the reasons why I did this marathon and training for other stuff is because in the first 18 months of osseointegration, the more active you are, the more your bone will integrate with that rod.
Sweet.
And the stronger it'll become.
Yeah.
So my thing is with all my surgeries I've had and how many surgeries that didn't work and I had setbacks, okay, fine. The next 18 months, I'm going to push this leg as hard as I can so that when I do have my 25th and 26th surgery after my Ironman, hey, I had 16 months of pushing. That
what,
leg is
What's the point of your other surgeries after the Ironman?
So,
like, what I mean, if you're able to run a marathon and do Ironmans, it seems like, okay, you're good.
My right leg actually has become bow-legged from all my hopping on it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
So, I didn't know
it's taking
I could do
a lot
that
of pressure, yeah.
I'm a big hopper. Yeah. You know, I use crutches. I'm good on crutches. I could carry things on crutches and just use my armpits to crutch. I've learned. But I like to get around fast. So you see me at the gym, when I had my leg done,
yeah.
I'm hopping.
Yeah.
Just because it's easier. I'm faster.
Yeah.
I just blew out my hip. Like, my hip just takes the brunt.
Yeah.
But
makes
what
sense.
I didn't realize is I actually bow-legged my tibia doing that. I bow-legged it 24 millimeters out. So when I ran that marathon and when I trained, I had big pressure going on to my knee. And when I started my training process, I got cleared to run on 6 months post-op. So I got cleared to run July 15th. I started to kind of get more active on July 13th.
Did they tell you not to push it that much or not to run a marathon? I remember they said you wouldn't be able to or...
Yeah, so right now the consensus in America with osseointegration is you can't run on it. And I'm one of about 60 in the nation with this. So me, when someone tells me that I can't do something, well, then it's like it's an opportunity that I can.
Yeah. As a kid, they said don't do drugs. And I was like, don't tell me what not to do.
Yeah.
As I'm over here. You know, go to school. Yeah, right. Like, you know, do whatever you're opposite of whatever you're told, right?
Yeah.
What I think is important to highlight here is like, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, according to ye faith, be it unto you. And it's not according to the doctor's faith, be it unto you, or your friend's faith, be it unto you, or your family. It's your faith, right? And in terms of what you believe is possible, right? And I think it's very, very important for people to understand this because there's going to be plenty of doubters, plenty of people that say that you can't do this, that, or the other, no matter what it is, whether it's running a marathon or, you know, starting a business or losing 100, like it doesn't matter what it is. There's going to be plenty of people that say that you can't or don't believe in you. And that doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is if you believe that you can do it and you're willing to endure whatever pain, whatever struggle or misery that it's going to take in order to get that result. You know, and I've seen you at the gym for, you know, like I said, years now. Kel's seen you there. And I said, hey, Mark, it's going to be Mark. He's like, oh, yeah, I know Mark. So we've seen you getting after it regardless, right? And you doing the surgery, you're just taking it to another level and another level and another level regardless of what other people say. And I think more people need to live like that, right? Like the no quit attitude, right? Which is the brand, right? Yeah. I think it's awesome what you're doing, right? Just showing people what's possible, regardless of what the outside states, what is or isn't based upon their professional opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. No quit. I've been saying that since, 2013, mm-hmm. that 35 days in the hospital.
Yeah.
I got out August 10th.
Yeah.
On August 15th, I'm on my couch with a pen and paper and I'm writing. I've only wrote in one poem in my entire life in terms of my story. Mm-hmm. And that is why I say no quit every day. And that's why I created my brand. When life gives you an obstacle, never doubt what is possible. Quit your grieving and start believing. It may take a lot of time, but in the end, it will be worth the climb. Never think that you will fail. Just stay positive and you will prevail. No quit.
That's your poem.
My poem.
Yeah.
I wrote that 40 days into this.
Yeah.
Never stop saying it. And that's what I've built my brand around.
Yeah.
Is that. So that's why no quit 24/7. I'm surprised no one's ever taken that. I have the, that's mine.
Yeah.
That's the website.
That's your Instagram.
That's mine.
Yeah. It
belongs to Mark.
Yeah.
And it's a double meaning.
Yeah.
People are like, no quit 24/7. Cool. You don't quit 24/7 to you, but 24 resembles the 24 surgeries I've had.
Yeah.
And the 7 resembles the 7 years I fought before my amputation. Cutting off all my toes, going through all the addictions. No quit 24/7 is.
You need to add 17 in there somewhere for all the 17 times that you've quit Oxy.
Yeah. And to be honest, there's probably going to be more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
quite
frankly, Oxy works.
Yeah.
And post-op, I don't want to be in pain.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not.
Well, dude, no quit. It means so many things, right, to you. But when I listen to your whole story, I'm like, one thing that's really freaking cool about your whole story is that you living this like no quit is what have allowed you to ask for help when you needed it most as well. You know what I mean? Because like you could have quit that day. You know what I mean? Lining up the knives, going through all these things. You know what I mean? And dude, I just think it's really cool that you had the wits and the courage to be like, holy shit, man, I need some help. Like this could all end right now. You know what I mean? And so now you're here able to spread this message of no quitting and also, being an example of asking for help, man, because everybody gets to those points where they want to quit.
Especially right now in this life, right now, 2023, this is a weird fucking time in life.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Social media.
The last 2, 3, 4 years has just been like
ridiculous.
Everybody's like disheveled.
Yeah.
Right.
They're mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's going on.
Yeah. I'm proud of that word. Disheveled.
Yeah.
That's a big word.
Just
for
like
me,
my dude. Medical words. Yeah. I have no idea what that means.
I believe it means like just kind of out of sorts.
Yeah.
You know? So when I use big words, dude, I got to acknowledge myself. That shit. I disheveled, well, son.
I heard him like 6 months ago in podcast. And he's like, I just think it's so cool when people can just like whip out a Bible verse. And he did it today. Yeah. you're that guy now, dude.
Yeah. I'm him.
God, that's no. Funny.
Well, no, literally what I decide.
Big words and Bible verses.
Well, what I decide.
That's Trev's new name.
Yeah.
Big words and Bible verses.
Yeah, dude.
Go to Instagram.
Big words
and Bible verses.
So B-dub and B, big dub, B-W. Dub is for W, So, yeah, see, I can't even.
I'm so confused right now.
No, big words is BW. So big dub and then Bible verses BW. That's going to be my new freaking Instagram handle 24/7. But one thing that I decided to do like a year or two ago, I was like, okay, what do I think is cool? And I admire people. Like when Justin Prince came on, he's like, you know, he's like spitting like 13 Bible verses on one podcast. I'm like, dude,
he's a collector of quotes. He told me.
That's to me, that's admirable, right? Like I admire somebody that has the ability to kind of do that and memorize things and part wisdom in certain situations. And so I was like, man, if I admire that, I should try to pursue that. And so like I have notes in my phone of Bible verses, and it's like, okay, I need to start kind of memorizing some Bible verses because I think, you know, it's just, if I think it's cool when I watch somebody else do it, then why don't I just try to incorporate that?
Yeah.
Right. Like, why not? So there here I am, you know,
big words and Bible verses, man,
big words, baby. So, you know, if you're not going to be ready for Trevor to use big words, this might not be your podcast moving forward, you know, or if you're not ready for me to be a preacher using Bible verses, it might not be your thing. So next up for you, you just got done with the marathon. Yep. You trained what, 13 miles prior to touching 26. Is that right?
Yeah. So I had 4 to 6 days of train.
Okay.
Let's go back a little bit so you kind of understand why I did this. I'm not a marathon. I'm not a runner. I've never done a marathon.
Yeah.
You are now.
Maybe. it's not why I did it.
Yeah.
I was planning to do the St. George half marathon and the Snow Canyon half marathon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Once I got cleared to run, I found out very quick that about my knee, that I would need my surgery.
Yeah.
Talked to my doctor. He said, yeah, you know, he's a specialist. You know, that surgery that I need to get does not get done by many doctors.
Yeah.
So I got to go back to New York for it. So me, I'm sitting there going, shit, like this, I just got my leg. Like I won.
Yeah.
I won.
Yeah.
10.5 years. I finally won. And now I need surgery on the opposite leg to make me, you know, pain free.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck. So I canceled the half marathon, Snow Canyon. I canceled the half.
What?
St. George.
The St. George half or the Snow Canyon half? The Snow Canyon half's coming up, right?
It's in November, yeah.
Yeah, it's November.
I was supposed to have surgery this month.
Yeah, okay.
But this is where it gets like, Mark, you are kind of stupid. In terms of like medically, this is not smart, but I'm doing it to make a statement.
Yeah.
Being signed up for that half, I don't know, my mind works kind of differently. When I want to inspire other amputees to get this done and get it done by the doctor that did mine. Yeah. So right now I'm trying to work with the doctor as well as the hospital to be their poster boy spokesman for osseointegration to get spread across the nation.
Yeah.
It's a big responsibility. I'm taking it on my shoulders to do that. So when I hear, you know, doctors say you can't run on osseointegration, how is another amputee going to take that? You know, they're looking at me like, you know, this guy ran a half, but, you know, he was able to get through a half. Would I be able to get through a full?
Yeah.
You know, another 13.1 miles. So what I did is I canceled the half and scheduled the full.
Yeah.
Knowing that, hey, you need to drive this point.
You don't half send shit, bro. You full send it. Mm-hmm. You know what
you
I mean?
You send it.
So when you're saying that they said that you can't run on, like, who's they? Like, is it the guy that actually put it in? Has said, hey, we'll put this in, but you can't run on it?
The guy that put it in told me that, I mean, I was at that time one of 45 people in the nation with it.
Yeah.
So this osseointegration has been around for about 2 decades, but it wasn't cleared by the FDA until about 5 years ago in the States. It originated from Australia and Sweden.
Okay.
So they've been doing it out there. When I look up on the computer, osseointegration marathoner or osseointegration runner, nothing.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to put in some keywords these days on Google and have something spit out.
Yeah.
When you don't see anything, it's a clear indicator that no one's doing it.
Yeah.
Or they're doing it and not talking about it and keeping it to themselves. So talk about an opportunity for me.
Yeah.
Give back to how many people gave back to or helped me.
Yeah.
This is a time where it's like, Mark, you could really change people's mind.
Yeah.
You know,
but the actual doctor that put it in didn't say that you shouldn't run on it.
He said
just patient, do whatever.
Patient by patient. Like,
gotcha. Yeah.
If you feel like you can do it, if you feel like you can train, like, I wouldn't jump into it right away. He told me, Mark, yeah. I wanted to run when I got my leg. So yeah. When I got my leg, it was April 4th. You know, I had my surgery on January 12th. I got my leg 11 weeks later, April 4th. I had a bone infection within 7 days of getting my leg because I was trying to be too active.
Yeah.
So they put something in and then they let it set for 4 months. And then you get your leg that you would actually, much, yeah. Okay.
Between 8 and 12 weeks, we get your leg. I got mine 11. And because logistically, it's in New York, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to get out there.
Yeah.
You know, so I got mine 11 weeks and, you know, I'm trying to get back to the gym and, you know, just be active and live my life and quick bone infection. Like I wasn't able to walk for 9 days.
Yeah.
And so then once I was able to start walking again, it was like, I had no intention about a marathon. Actually, take that back. I already signed up for the half. So I was like, I'm doing it. I'm going to cross it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Didn't know about time frames. Didn't know about anything like that. So then once we got kind of closer to like my 6 month mark, mm-hmm. my doctor told me, hey, at 6 months, then you can start incorporating running and, you know, stuff like that. So once I hit that, I was like, all right, got to get another surgery. We're doing the full.
Yeah.
Me going, you know, my mindset is, hey, all you got to do is you got to finish. You just got to cross that finish line and you're going to help a boatload of people.
Yeah.
But then I hear, no, man, you got to get the mile 23 in 6 hours. I'm like, oh, shit.
Okay. Yeah, there's a cutoff time.
There's a cutoff. So I'm like, all right, Mark, like, you need help. So that's why I reached out to Pat.
Yeah.
He's not a marathon coach. He's an athlete. Mm. You know, he gave me a tip in the gym about 2 weeks prior to me reaching out. I was doing ladders on a little turf area.
Yeah.
And he walked over and said, hey, you know, I want you to lock your core, have a little front bend, and then do it. And it helped me substantially.
Yeah.
I felt so much more comfortable doing it. And that's when I was like, you know, this guy's played somewhere. You know, he's athletic. He can help me.
Yeah.
So I reached out to him. And like the same thing he said to me was, I don't train marathoners. I'm like, I don't need you to train me for the, like, necessarily the marathon, but I need you to train me for the endurance and the conditioning that my legs need to be in to run.
Yeah.
So that's when we started. Yeah. And we had 46 days to do it. Mm. And, you know, I needed surgery in my knee. So like my training regimen was different. People ask me like, you're going to run the marathon? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how much you run this week? I haven't ran this week. What? How are you going to run? I'm like, I'm going to finish.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how yet, but I'm going to finish. So yeah, the farthest we ran was 2 weeks prior to that marathon. Did a half on my own down at the Virgin River Trail for pace. My pace was 8 minutes, 8 minute mile.
Damn, it's good.
The fuck?
But you gotta understand.
That's like my PR, dude.
Intervals. Run 1 mile, walk 2 minutes.
Okay.
Run 1 mile, walk 2 minutes.
Still, I mean,
that's what 8 you do.
8 minutes is still ridiculous.
Whole time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this leg, though, you gotta understand, it's so funny when you hear people talk about amputations and prosthetics, and they're like, this amputee now has an unfair advantage. Go fuck yourself, for one. But also, it's not wrong. Like, this thing's got some spring in it. Like,
yeah.
It makes running nice. So, yeah, we just gradually kind of progressed. And, yeah, I hit my 13.1 miles, but I made a very big mistake. So this leg, my prosthetist, Freedom Prosthetics, they're like 5 minutes away. They fit me with this blade to shoes like this, little soles.
Oh, yeah.
So I found that, you know, it's uncomfortable to run with
little soles.
So I was like, find a shoe with a thicker sole. So I did. A Noble shoe. I love Noble.
Yeah.
Got this shoe, and I was like, all right. My 30th birthday hit, and I was like, you're going to run a half marathon on your birthday. Well, I just got back from a hunt and I was like tired as hell. So I was like, you're going to wait a day and then run. So I ran it with those thicker soles.
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't realize was by doing so, I'm now 1 inch higher on my right side.
Yeah.
So when I hit mile 11, holy shit.
Yeah.
My hip was like, what are you doing? I was able to finish the 13.1. My time was, you know, 8:15 to 8:30 mile. wasn't very happy with that, but at the same time, like,
what the fuck, bro? I'm over here running like 10:30s, dude. I'm just happy to get it done, you know? I'm slow as shit, you know? So 8:30s is respectable, especially for somebody that's not really been running and training like that. So, you know, I mean, you got big ass long legs though. You know, try to be 5'7" with these little short stubby little fuckers.
How you make it work, man?
You know, just shuffle my way down the path. You know, so
I did the half and took a week off because I was like, "What's going on?" Went to my prosthetist. This is a pylon right here.
Okay, this is stand out a little bit. Yeah.
It was about, my pylon was about this tall.
Yeah.
Four. So they added another inch. Mm-hmm. So I've.
Oh, okay.
So this right now, I haven't worn this since my marathon.
Yeah.
Because it is for my shoe.
Yeah.
That has that bigger.
Yeah.
Sole on it. So when I do want to run, throw this on, get that shoe, and I'm going.
So you got the running one, like, and then you have just an everyday one.
Yeah.
And those are just the two, right? Like, or do you, is there three or four?
Oh, no,
like,
I only have two right now. So. Okay. Medical is screwed up in a lot of ways. As much as you would like to think that, you know, it would be easy for me to get legs, it's not.
Yeah.
Because of this piece right here, this socket costs $6,000.
Yeah.
Insurance will only cover one of them. So if you want one or you want more legs, you
gotta buy them.
You gotta buy them.
Yeah.
I don't wanna buy them. You know, another reason why I ran this marathon, another reason why I'm training for an Ironman. I want to show people that I can run with this, but also it's so new, and I'm kind of the pioneer of it, that, hey, buy me sockets.
You're getting sponsored or what?
Not yet.
You know?
Yeah.
But I know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of guy that I'm not going to reach out to companies right now. Why? I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. I want them to reach out to me.
Yeah.
So,
Tag their ass.
I have. So
you have been tagging them.
I'll be going
in your post.
I'll be going down to hopefully San Diego in a couple weeks and meet with Assault Fitness. You heard of Assault Fitness? Mm-hmm. They have like at the gym,
like the bikes or whatever,
stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully talk
to
them.
Gym brand. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just like, you know, trying to get like with like No Bull and, you know, Hard Work Pays Off. You know, Matt Frazier. You heard of Matt Frazier, CrossFitter?
Yeah.
He started the Hard Work Pays Off brand. Mm-hmm. That's what I usually rep. Just trying to, you know, I don't want to be that kind of guy that's just like always bugging these people, you know, sponsor me, give me clothes, send me free shit. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want to be a long-term person with them.
Sure.
But I believe that I have to run marathons and Ironmans to show that I'm worthy of repping their brand.
Dude, you're the real deal. I love it.
Yeah. Well, the work always is way before the result. You know what I mean? That's fucked up, but it is, you know? Like, you're not going to get recognition for, hey, I'm gonna do this or I'm gonna do that, right? Like, you actually have to do the body of work before you get recognized.
So that was, like, my biggest thing. So, like, the reason why I started No Quit 24/7, the reason why I wanted to do this marathon is because what I've been seeing in the past 6 months on social media. So I brought my phone because my No Quit 24/7 account, I get people reaching out to me globally.
Yeah.
And it is surreal. Like, talk about just embracing what's going on. People have been amputees for 15 years that run marathons now, but they have that problem with, you know, pain, or they want to increase their times and they see a guy with an implant like this in their leg and they're like, how is he doing that? So going into this, I think, you know, talk is cute. You know, you can talk all you want. Imagine if you're an amputee, right?
I talk a lot.
I know you do. I know you
do. It is cute.
But imagine you're an amputee, right? And you're like, you're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, your leg hurts, your nub hurts, your prosthetic doesn't fit correctly, and you want to reach a point where you are running and doing all this stuff, and you roll across my account and see me talking like here and saying, yeah, you can run a half marathon. Yeah, you can run a full marathon. You gonna believe me? You gonna reach out to that doctor and get your leg cut off? Are you gonna get that implant put in? No, because talk is cheap. Action speaks. Mm-hmm. So I did that marathon. Because now when you're scrolling through and you see me, you go pull up my post, you see me sprinting the finish to a 26.2-mile marathon. You see me in the next 6 months training for an Ironman.
Yeah.
Before that Ironman, I'm training for a body composition test or a men's classic.
physique or whatever. Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To show people that, yeah, you can. You can talk all you want about it.
Yeah.
But action speaks. And I know that I'm not speaking to the masses of people, but I'm speaking to the amputees that need to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that is powerful to me. That motivates me to get out of bed in the morning.
That's cool.
It motivates me to train.
Yeah.
I think you're going to motivate a lot of people that aren't even going through the amputee stuff. You know what I mean? Like, dude.
Well, I think like right now, like, I don't think any, I know everybody's got shit going on in their life.
Yeah.
I know with this world, how much shit's going on. Like, they keep a lot of stuff in. Mm-hmm. So it's a, like, for the past 10 and a half years, I've been vulnerable on my social media accounts.
Yeah.
I've talked about my addictions. I've posted side by sides of me when I'm hooked on Oxy versus what I was looking like crossing a finish line.
Hooked on lifting weights, you know.
Lifting weights. Yeah. The addiction changes.
Yeah.
But I that because I want to show people that it's okay to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. We all got shit going on.
Yeah.
And the more we talk about it, there's a very good chance that the people that hear it probably got similar shit going on too.
Everybody's got shit going on.
And then they could talk about it and they could work stuff out. Or you can just keep it bottled up inside and just be depressed and anxious forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if people want to connect with you, where's the best place to do it? Is it your social media?
Social media.
Yeah. But so is it No Quit? Is it? I swear there's an underscore.
It's
something
No
like
Quit 24 underscore 7.
Underscore 7. Okay. Yeah. So we'll put that in the show notes, dude. Thank you for coming on, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for inspiring many people.
A big thing I do, too, that I know that most people don't do is if you reach out to me on social media, message me, the return message from me is going to be my cell phone number.
Mm.
And we can talk on face-to-face. We can do a FaceTime.
Yeah.
I'm not a big texter, you know? It's hard for me to tell this. Imagine telling someone this over text.
Yeah.
Well, you only got to write it out once, and then you can copy and paste that bitch.
No.
You know what I mean?
Because everyone's different.
Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Everyone's got a different story.
Yeah.
You know, you may be an amputee, but you're not like the other amputee.
No, yeah. It's great, dude. I love that you just are willing to help people. It's amazing.
I'm not getting paid for any of this right now, but No Quit 24/7 is working. I'm trying to be the consultant for my doctor in the hospital.
So in other words, what he's saying is get in right now. Is he saying, hey, I'm not getting paid right now, but you ain't going to get a hold of me in 2 years, fool. That's what you're pretty much saying. I'm going to be a hard guy to connect with. I'm not saying it, but
I got plans, man.
But I just, he got plans. So right now, he'll FaceTime your ass in 2 years.
You can contact my assistant.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Mark, again, thanks for coming out, bro, and sharing your story.
Me.
It's badass. So.
Yeah, dude, we'll be rooting you on for the half marathon or the half Ironman as well, dude, because that's no joke.
Yeah, no
that's
doubt.
Incredible.
So. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure that you share the show, review the show. Other than that, guys, keep kicking ass. We'll see you next week.